Pod. Here it is, Tuesday, February 27, 2024. Post-game show here. The Flyers just beat the Lightning 6-2. Very interesting. Nick is back in typical post-game fashion. Nick, how you doing?
I'm in a much better mood tonight. How are you?
doing good. Flyers. You know, Bobby Brink scored a goal immediately upon his return, and that broke the Wells Fargo Center.
Yes.
And then when they fixed the Wells Fargo Center, the Lightning scored. And then it just, the story of this one was Vasilevsky just stopped playing for a little while. He looked like Cal Peterson out there. And the Flyers took full advantage and scored a 4 on him and then 2 on the empty net. Yeah. Walked away a big win here.
That's 6 goals in back-to-back games.
Yeah. They actually won this one, too.
Yeah, yeah. Granted, 2 of them were empty net tonight. They caught Vasilevsky on an off night, and you got to take advantage of that. And I thought the Flyers played a good first period. I thought they had a pretty weak second period. The Nick Paul goal, I felt like everyone out there just went to sleep on that shift. And then the Flyers obviously got a talking to in that second intermission and had a dominant third period. It looks like when Walker made it 4-1, like Tampa just kind of stopped until they, you could tell the wind was out of their sails when the Flyers went up 3-1 and 4-1. And yeah, they pulled their goalie, but all around pretty good game. They stayed out of the box. You have to do that against Tampa. They only gave up 4 penalty minutes, 2 power plays. So good game. And no Cam Atkinson.
No, when I found out that they called Brink up this morning, I thought, well, that's the end of Lexell. Nope, they both played and they benched Cam Atkinson. Thank Christ! It's about 3 months too late. Yeah, but they finally did it.
Yes. I think everyone across all of your pods have been asking for the benching of Atkinson. I think he's fallen out of favor with the fans. Again, as I always say, not a bad guy, but buddy.
It's fucking sucks.
Yeah, you stink now. You're washed. Can we please see what other people have instead of this? Like, he was just taking up space. So to see Lixell and Brink both play, even though Lixell was on the fourth line, at least he was with Couturier on that line. And Brink, I don't know, Brink's ice time I'll have here in front of me, but
14:26.
That's pretty good. So you called him up, you played him. I hope when Konechny comes back, they sit Delorier and not one of the kids.
Don't get crazy on us here.
I know.
Yeah, Lexell, 11:35. He was with Couturier and Delorier. What a fucking trio.
Yeah.
But Ryan Poehling played almost 18 minutes. Which looks like the most on the forward. Yeah, by a wide margin, actually.
Torts likes him.
Yeah.
And I like him, too. You know, he's quick. He's got a good defensive stick. Obviously, the offensive touch isn't... I mean, he was, what, like, first-round pick in the top 20 for Montreal? Something like that. So he doesn't have the scoring you'd want from that they would have wanted out of a first-rounder. But, I mean, I like everything else about his game.
25th overall in 2017.
25th. Okay, so I was wrong. But I like his game. I think he's in a perfect role here. And just don't overuse him. But, yes, I like Poehling. Like that Atkinson sat. Don't like that everybody's getting hurt. But
yeah, I'm fine with it. If it's the only way to get the fucking kids up here and playing, then so be it.
I guess you're right. And I saw the Flyers said that all these injuries aren't going to change their deadline plans.
I don't think they know what their deadline plans are in the first place to have any change occurring. But
yeah.
Yeah, Forster had a goal. Which
14th.
Third consecutive with a goal. Looks like he has 5 goals in his last 5 games and 7 in his last 7.
Yeah.
So
keep playing him.
You're playing well. Frost had 2 assists. Who gives a fuck? Noah Cates had an empty net goal. And Brink was the other one. So
About a week ago, a week and a half ago, me and Bobby, a couple of people were just dunking on Frost because he doesn't do anything for long stretches of time. And some dude was like, he's actually been the best player on the Flyers the last 2 seasons. And I'm like, no, he hasn't.
Two seasons?
Yeah, this season and last season. He's like, he's the best. Like, n no.
These
And then he
people,
like,
I'm like, Morgan Frost stans are the most delusional people. Konechny stans are just annoying. They overvalue the fuck out of this guy. The Morgan
yeah.
Frost stans, those are the ones that think Nikita Kucherov is 102 points. That's almost as good as Morgan Frost in their eyes. Like, they're nuts. I can't, I can't take it.
What'll make you laugh is he then sends me a link and I click it and it's analytics type stats. I'm like, oh, okay. Analytics, he's the best, huh? And I didn't even answer him. And then I get a notification like at 3 in the morning, he answers me like, oh, I got nothing to say, huh? When you put up facts. And I just ignored him. I'm like, you know what, buddy, you have this. You go ahead and think Morgan Frost is the best Flyer for the last 2 seasons. You go ahead, bud.
God.
Good goaltending tonight, though. Let's stay on track tonight. Ersan looked good. He only faced
22.
22 shots. So only he gave up what, one even strength goal and
One
one
six
goal with
on
the extra
side.
attacker. Yeah. So I mean, that game against Pittsburgh, I mean, Cal Peterson, that was one of the worst goaltending displays I think we've all seen in a long
Quite
time.
a
That was,
while,
I mean,
huh?
the Flyers were fucking sloppy in that Penguins game. Let's not excuse some of the players. Like there was some gaffes in their own zone and turnovers in the neutral zone. But like if he just would have made one save to bail them out, you need your goalie to bail you out because your players aren't going to be perfect, and he couldn't bail them out. And then just the soft goals he gave up. I almost feel like the NHL, I was thinking this, we all kind of think they favor the Penguins, especially during the prime years. It's like, how are you going to schedule the Flyers on a back-to-back against two division rivals and have to travel out to Pittsburgh and they get to face a fresh Pittsburgh team?
Yeah, 24 hours difference between the start times.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Like, Flyers have to face the Rangers, then travel across the state to play a Pittsburgh
It's
team that had
like
a.
an what, 7 hour, 8 hour trip out there. It's not a
If
quick
you
one.
drive, it's four. If you fly, it's 1.5 hours.
To Pittsburgh?
Yes. Well, four. Yeah,
Drive's
four and a
longer than
half hour drive.
four, isn't
Yeah, about 4 and a half. I speed.
it? It's been a
I drove
minute
out
since
there
I've
last
made that
summer.
trek, but it's about
What's that?
5 hours.
Yeah, and I think they fly. They don't drive out to Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh didn't play Saturday, so they got to be nice and fresh.
It's 35 hours by bike.
Oh.
Huh.
Oh. If you don't die.
Tampa only had about 1.5 power plays,
Yeah, that's right. One got cut short. Yep.
but it's very easy to tell the top-ranked power play, star-studded, versus whatever it is the Flyers do on a night-to-night basis that are dead last. Even in that
Yeah.
brief moment, it's like, oh yeah, there's a difference here.
Yes.
It's amazing what some fucking star power can do for you when it comes to putting together a decent power play. Who'd have thunk?
I know. The way they move the puck around is unbelievable. Like
Yeah.
it's astonishing. And even just Kucherov, like Cates made a couple nice plays on him. Poehling made a couple nice plays on him, but like he's damn near impossible to get the puck off of. And you could see how he has so many points because he draws so much attention to him, and he somehow just finds the open guy. Luckily, Stamkos kind of had an off night, even though he got that
He
extra
whiffed on
attacker
about
goal.
seven or eight attempts there, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely. That'll be interesting to see if they move on from him in the summer, or if he'll take a pay cut since you can make $3 to $4 million less dollars in Florida compared to Toronto and probably take home just as much because there's no state
Pretty
tax.
much, yeah.
But
Noah Cates's goal is not listed as an empty netter.
definitely was, and it snapped a streak.
I know they were talking about Vasilevsky run into the bench on a really bad play there, so I don't know if he was still technically on the ice when it happened or not. We need to.
He might have been just getting into the
somewhere, but it's still not counts against Vasilevsky, so he must have been on the ice.
Huh. And it was a really nice play by Poehling knocking the puck off Kucherov's stick.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Cam York, the only one with the empty netter.
Nice. Well, hopefully they don't send Brink back down anytime soon. He looked much better.
They won't
better.
Send him down. They'll just keep him sequestered in the press box for months on a time.
I mean, look, I can understand the Rangers had that tough guy in the lineup. You want to have your tough guy in the lineup. And that was a brilliant fight. And it got everyone talking about it. Great fight. We haven't seen a fight like that in a long time. But, like, when Tampa's not dressing a fighter, when Washington will not be dressing, they don't have a fighter on Friday, when they play Ottawa the next
Most
day.
Most teams don't here in 2024.
Yeah, so it's like, you don't need him every fucking night. Like, can you please sprinkle in the kids a little more? I know we keep sounding like a broken record, but yeah, trade deadline is just over a week away, and Sean Walker might have upped his value again.
Today was
snipe.
The first day that I felt like they may actually do the right thing and trade these guys. Because it seems like both Walker and Seeler want a fuck ton of money to stay, and the Flyers are not in a position to give them said fuck ton of money. Obviously, they're still negotiating, so anything is possible. But this was the first day I was like, oh my god, they may actually move on from him. Because I have not had that feeling once during the last few weeks. So, yeah. It was, you know, we shall see. There's still time for this to develop one way or the other. But for the time being, I felt at peace today for the first time that, holy crap, we may actually go into the deadline and they may do the right thing.
Yeah. And fuck, man, Nick Seeler, you can't put a price on what he does. I mean, he's not offensively gifted.
It's not $4 million, that's for goddamn sure.
No, but like, you can get some value for that. I mean, he eats pucks. That's and there's a value for that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So you move on from Seeler, you better get a good return. And Sean Walker, he's having a fucking good year. He skates well, he moves the puck well, he's got a nice shot. You got to get good value for these guys. And there's probably a few teams that are desperate, like that don't like for example, Boston. They don't want to repeat of last year. Toronto, like, they're always desperate.
Dallas was a big one that is their hat in the ring on specifically Walker, but I guess the pair.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. 10 days.
Now I know we know this isn't the year to go all in. And there's still probably another year or two away easily. But they need another goalie. Like, you can't play Cal Peterson. He just showed why he was a cap dump in that King. What was that Kings trade?
That was a three-way one with the Provorov, where they got
Yes. And he was the cap dump.
Peterson
and
Walker.
And he wasn't even considered to be for the Flyers. It was, you're going to the fucking Phantoms. You're a salary dump.
Yeah.
And he is not an NHL goalie. I'm surprised when I went to that game against the Kraken that he actually played decent and they won. But, I mean, his stat line this year is abhorrent.
The Flyers got Cal Peterson, Sean Walker, Helga Granz, and a 2024 second from the Kings in that trade.
Well, I hope they did some good scouting for that second.
Helga Granz has been a whole lot of nothing in Lehigh. Cal Peterson fucking sucks. And Sean Walker is Sean Walker.
That turned out to be pretty good.
And Cal Peterson's numbers, talked about them on the Dylan show, but let me pull them back up again. 864. Save percentage, 390 goals against in 6 NHL games this season. He has played 15 AHL games with only slightly better numbers, an 890 save percentage, and a 325 goals against.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen him twice live, once on the Phantoms, once on the Flyers, and he won both games. I saw him play, go figure. But yeah, you can't, if you want to make the playoffs, and you know what? I do want to make the playoffs. I want to watch five more extra games this year and enjoy playoff hockey in Philly, and at least if they're trending in the right direction, and I hope they are, at least get these kids some playoff experience and know what you have and fucking strike in the summer, because you can't run it back. You still can't run it back. Even if they're making strides and you get playoff experience, I know you've talked about this a lot. You can't run it back. You have to eventually add and move on from some of these people. But you're not gonna do much with Cal Peterson spot starting for Ersan, because Ersan has shown he's gonna have some rough games and give up some weak ones. Like I felt like the one goal, the first goal against the Rangers was pretty weak. But do you trade for a goalie? Do you call up Sandstrom instead? Do
They
you?
could swap Peterson and Sandstrom, but at that point, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference. I would trust Sandstrom more than I would trust Peterson, but he's been wildly inconsistent at the AHL level this year. Some days he looks like an NHLer, some days he looks just as bad as Peterson. He's probably the safer bet. Obviously, he's like number one player besides Wade Allison on the John Tortorella shit list for some reason. Clearly, has ne just never been given an opportunity under this guy with any kind of legitimacy. So I don't know if they make that switch. Tortorella said this morning that they were going to consider it, in quotations, I assume. But either way, yeah, all of a sudden you went from an embarrassment of riches and net to they need to figure their backup situation out real bad this summer, one way or the other. And my guy right now is Anthony Stolarz. Seems like the best backup option out there in the free agent market, because it is a shit year for goaltending, ironically enough. I feel like the goaltending market has been really strong the last few years, and all of a sudden the Flyers need one. And just kidding, we got a bunch of fucking 40-year-old scrubs out there that need really. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be something they're going to have to address during the summer. I can't imagine they do anything going into the playoffs here, buying at the deadline or anything crazy like that. But yeah, it's going to be pretty high on the priority list going into the offseason to figure out something, because Peterson is just not acceptable, especially over the course of a full season, let alone the next 6 weeks of the season here.
No, yeah, you can't play him. You can't play him.
No,
Even
it's about a
against,
guaranteed loss. Yeah.
you can't even play him against Chicago later this month at home. You can't play him. I don't trust him against
I
Chicago or
think they've
San
got
Jose.
three sets of back-to-backs left, if I remember correctly.
I know they have Boston twice in March. They have to go down to Florida. They're showing it after the game. They have San Jose and Chicago at home.
A
They have St.
back-to-back with Boston and Florida, a
Yeah.
back-to-back with Buffalo and Columbus, and there's one more. Where the hell was it? Oh, this weekend, back-to-back with Washington and Ottawa.
Ottawa's been playing better lately. So I would assume you're going to start Ersan in Washington, and then you're going to start Peterson at home against Ottawa and expect him to get you a win or at least an overtime loss.
You want Cal Peterson to play Alex Ovechkin?
Yeah, no. God. Here's a wild one. Boston. Isn't there always talks of like, well, they got to stick with one and they got to move on from the other. You can't pay them both.
Is possible. I don't think it's worth putting that kind of money into either one of them at this point, given Ersin is here. I believe one of them is up. Yeah, Swayman's an RFA at the end of the season.
Yeah, go trade for Swayman.
They could. He's making 3.4. He's probably going to be close to double that, if I had to guess, when the time comes. But, yeah, I don't know.
Swayman and Ersin. Boom.
They should do it with some kind of legitimacy. I would be hesitant to spend a ton of money at that position, but if that's what it's going to take. You can't let a backup goaltending sink you. And this is the thing, even just from now to the end of the season, if Ersin gets hurt and they're stuck with Peterson and Sandstrom, ho, kiss those playoffs goodbye.
Yep. That's
No.
what I mean. The way the injury bug is going through the team. Yeah, it's all it takes is someone to fall on them or him to stretch, trying to make a save, and you pull your groin, and you have Cal Peterson. And you missed the playoffs, probably, at that rate. Did you know, when we were last on, we were talking about how, like, people just overreact to you on Twitter as if, like, you're insulting their mothers. And all you do is share cap-friendly scenarios. You're just sharing it. Like, hey, this is out there. And I was like, and did you see, like, last week, the one guy just starts flipping out at you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did you read it? It's not Dance. It's just from Cap Friendly. He's just sharing it. He's like, well, this is the only one that's not his. And I'm like, nah, dude. Like, they're from Cap Friendly. He's just sharing them. And he's jumping down my throat. And I click his profile. So it's like, father of three, we follow each other. And I'm just like, hey, buddy, you know what? I hope you find yourself some inner peace, because you're getting way too upset about, like, hypotheticals and people's opinions. And I just unfollowed him and muted him. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you're crazy.
Yeah, those deal or no deal pieces, not one of them goes by when I don't have a bunch of people that go, these all suck! Why'd you make them? Why would you do this? Why did you write this? And I'm like, I didn't. It's right there in the intro of what the whole gimmick of what this piece is. I credit the people that made the scenarios above each one of them. Read, my guy. Read the fucking thing. Jesus. Tap dance in Christ. Yeah, Twitter's a mess.
By the way, Pittsburgh fucking stinks, man. If the Flyers had any goaltending, they won that game.
Yeah, their days of dominance here are coming to an end.
They stink.
They may sell Gensel at the deadline, provided he's not hurt, which he is right now.
Cam and Strick were asking, like, do you move on from Crosby or Malkin? Do they even want to leave?
I can't imagine Crosby actually wants to go, but he is a free agent next summer.
I mean, they're in the same boat the Flyers were not that long ago, where the Flyers didn't even really have an open window because of back-to-back horrible GMs here. But, like, you have – you know what? They're like the Phillies. They're like the Phillies when you had Utley and Howard and Rollins and Hamels, and they're all getting old. And they won you that thing a few years ago. They won you that thing. But do you? We have to thank them and pay them, and we can't let them go. It's like, no, you gotta let somebody go.
Crosby and Letang are 36. Malkin is 37.
Carlson is
Letang's
on the other.
Under contract until 2028 at $6.1 million.
Who's? Please tell me Hextall signed him to that.
Let's see. I would assume so.
He did?
Ron Hextall signed him in July 7, 2022.
Oh, thank you, Ron.
And he's got a full no move until 2026.
Oh, my goodness. Carlson's on the other side of 30, and he's not the Carlson he used to be.
He's under contract, $10 million until 2027 at 33.
Oh, my God. See, that's where Dubas fucked up. Like, you should have tried to get a little younger, and... Ugh.
What a no-win scenario that guy is in.
Yeah, because you're because Crosby's still playing at an elite level.
Yeah, he's still Sidney Crosby.
And, like, I know we don't really care about the Penguins that much, but for argument's sake, like, you know, you owe it to him to try and help him win. But at the end of the day, that team just isn't deep enough.
They're deep. They're old. Jeff Carter's still playing for him at 39.
He's washed up.
He's been washed up for 10 years now.
He's there, Cam Atkinson.
Lars Eller's 34. Brian Rust is 31. Ricard Raquel is 30.
Wow.
Riley Smith's at 32.
Yeah, I mean, he acquired Riley Smith and he acquired Eric
Alex
Carlson.
Alex Nedeljkovic, that'd be one of the other goalies I would consider. He's a UFA at the end of the year, provided he makes it there.
I'm not a big fan of his. I'm definitely not a fan of Jari. I think Tristan Jari stinks.
He's under contract until 2028. $5.3 million.
Wow.
Whew.
Good Lord. They're in a bad situation.
They got a Jack Johnson buyout on the books until 2026 at just shy of $1 million. Huh. Yeah, what a mess.
I would assume they're probably going to do one more all-in push this year, and then if it falls flat on its face, which it probably will, you might see some big time moves.
They even close to the playoffs
No.
right now? Let's see here. Penguins are 60 points. The Flyers are third in the Metro with 69. It looks like both wild card
Nice.
spots are currently over in the Atlantic, with the Red Wings at 72 and the Lightning at 69. And the Caps have 63, Devils have 62, Sabres at 58. So
That's a big game Friday at Washington. That's a four-pointer. 'Cause Washington has games in hand.
got two right now. Everybody in the Metro's got at least two on the Flyers. Penguins have five games in the hand at the moment.
How does that even happen?
I don't know. 55 games.
I mean, Washington got, was that yesterday? No, tonight. They got boat raced by Detroit tonight, 8-3. Detroit is red hot. And yeah, it looks like the Capitals are off, same as the Flyers, until Friday. And then they play Sunday at home to Phoenix, or sorry, Arizona. Oof. Then they have.
Nope. Drysdale, listed as week to week right now. Risto is, I believe, week to week as well, with some unknown injury. And we did I there's been so much shit that we've had to talk about since the new year between Gauthier and Hart and playoff stuff and will they, won't they. We rarely ever talk about the playoffs. We kind of brought this up on the Dylan show yesterday, but they're probably going to make it at this point. And there's all this talk about will they or won't they trade Seeler. And my thought on this one, the more I think about this, they're not going to add anybody. They've made that clear that they're not buyers at the deadline. So it's not like they're going to go out and bring in two or three forwards to try and make something of this playoff push. And they're probably not getting past Carolina in the first round. I would not put the betting odds on that one. So what does it matter if Walker and Seeler are here or not?
You're saying just trade him at the draft.
I'm saying trade him at the deadline. Why is there hesitancy based on a playoff run? We can't move him because now we have two injuries and they got to be here for the playoffs. Who cares? If you're not
Yeah.
going to win, if you're not going to insulate the team at the deadline by adding, you may as well just have Andre and Adard in that spot if you have a five-game series against the Hurricanes.
I'm hoping that's what happens, is they at least trade one of them and you bring up one of those two kids and you see what they got. Like, can they, like, that's throwing them in the deep end though, for sure. And they always say, like, defensemen, you got to be careful with that as far as their development goes. But
Well, you
like,
told him to fuck off all
I,
year.
yeah,
You
I,
had all
yeah.
season to throw him into regular time.
Yeah, and I, and yeah, I'm just saying that just for the sake of saying it, because I apparently that was like, some people are, I've seen on social media grumbling about, Drysdale and his injuries, and did he stagnate with Anaheim? Did they throw him in too soon in the NHL? Is he being rushed too much? But yeah. If we know we're not, we're like, we all know we're not going on a deep run. We're not. At best, we somehow sneak past Carolina, because I guess their goaltending's okay, but Flyers, I don't think, have the depth to win a set to beat Carolina four times.
And even if they somehow magically do, they are not beating the Panthers. They're not beating the Bruins. They're not beating the Leafs. They're not beating the Rangers. They're not, even if they somehow magically get past Carolina in the second round, it ends there.
It
There's
ends
no
there.
magical cup run. This isn't 2010. I don't have them getting out of the first round, let alone against any of the beasts of the East here.
No.
So I don't know. I just the more I think about what the actual playoffs means, it's gravy for this team, right? It was never supposed to happen. So if you actually make it, which at this point it looks like they're going to, that's great. But Sean Walker's not going to win you a playoff series.
No.
Nick Seeler's not going to win you a playoff series. If you're getting beat in the first round anyway, then you may as well sell them at the deadline, get the assets for them, which seems like high, especially if you sell them as a pair. Play the kids for the last 20 games of the season. I think there's 18 of games post-trade deadline. Play them, and you go into the playoffs, and come whatever may. Like, I just, the more I think about this, the more I'm like, they want to keep the band together for playoff push, but what the fuck is the difference at this point if you're not going to help them and insulate them at the deadline itself to bring in two or three scoring forwards to actually have them stand a chance against them?
Yeah. Because the Phantoms certainly aren't going to go on a deep run. So fucking bring up those guys and bring up Addard and Andre.
They're on the outside of a playoff spot looking in, but it is close between... I mean, they could reasonably jump Springfield sooner or later. They're only 2 points ahead of them in the standings, and they've got 23 games left. So it's not impossible that the Phantoms sneak into the postseason right now. But they're on the outside looking in as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I would... Again, Ronnie Addard's deal converts to a one-way contract next year, so theoretically, he's going to be on the main roster. They could always put him on waivers. That's never stopped him before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you have no idea what you got because he's played no games in the NHL this year. He played two last year, and I think he's at 17 total after he signed his ELC out of college 2 years ago now in that god-awful season. 17 games in the NHL, you've got no idea what he can do. Emil Andrea played four at the beginning of the season in a very small role that he probably shouldn't have been in before he got sent down. I mean, those are your two top guys in the AHL right now. Let's see what they can do.
Let's keep playing Mark Stoll instead. God, is he not one of the worst fucking players you've ever seen?
He is not very good. Who would have thunk, by the way?
I know.
Who could have ever predicted that 37-year-old Mark Stoll is not very good?
That'd be great if they got rid of Stahl, Sealer, and Walker.
I can't imagine anybody's going to pay anything for Mark Stahl.
No, they get a seventh rounder at best.
Fine, absolute best. 27, seventh rounder in 2027, like 3-4 years down the road from now.
Or what they call it, the future considerations. I agree. I mean, if they trade either one or both, I will not be upset with that because you have to put your money where your mouth is, pick a direction, and fucking go. You moved on from Provorov because he's a fucking douchebag. You moved on from Kevin Hayes because wasn't jiving with the coach. And, you know, word is they were worried about his influence spreading to other people, whatever that may be. That's from Snow the goalie. Who
apparently
has
Provorov is on the block again. In Columbus. Can reacquire him.
Ugh. No. He can go somewhere else. No more JVR. You know, they chose not to keep him. Thank God. I remember we were worried about, like, watch him keep him the one more year because he's such a good guy. I mean, buy out Atkinson in the summer. If you only trade away one of Walker and Sealer, trade the other one away at the draft and go. Start making moves. Go after a free agent. Offer sheet somebody. Get yourself a goalie. Because they have what? Extra $3.5 million in cap space because of the Hart thing?
Something like that. Only, I think, given the time of year, I think it only boils down to like 1.5. But yeah, I mean, Carter Hart was probably going to ink an extension probably in the 7 or 8 million range. So, you lose your top goaltender, but you did garner some extra cash here into the offseason. So.
Well, go for Swayman.
I could. I mean, Gerson's under contract 2 more years at 1.4. So
say you pay Swayman 7, you're giving $8 million to your goalies. It's not too bad.
Not in total. No.
The cap's expected to go up finally, right?
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I love how all these other... And they said, LOL, JK, stay in flat. It should go up. I think 87.7 is what it's going to be at, was the number, I believe. So, a couple million.
Gary Bettman's such a terrible fucking
commissioner.
Like, all these other leagues keep making jumps. The NFL just had that astounding jump in their cap. And the NHL still is like, we don't know what we're doing. We need to keep the Coyotes in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. There's already talk they're going to try and get Winnipeg out. apparently their season ticket numbers dipped like 30% this year or something crazy like that.
Yeah, well, the owner's trying to use that as a scare tactic, apparently. Like, come to our games or we're leaving.
And Gary Bettman wants them the fuck out. Because, of course, they got to get out of Winnipeg a second time.
Yeah,
moving back to Atlanta.
But let's just keep bouncing Arizona around the
Arizona's
going to
play in a fucking beer league 20-seat arena before they get out of there. Huh?
Like, that's still such a disgrace that they're playing in a fucking college arena. That dude who owns the Utah Jazz, he wants them.
Yeah, Salt Lake City wants a team.
Yeah, so, I could see that. Because the Coyotes have had how many, like, buyers, and they promise the world and nothing happens.
Quite a few now, over the last few years alone.
Like, that's just revenue the NHL's missing out on. Like, move the fucking Coyotes.
Yeah, you would think.
And you would think Jets fans, because the Jets were kind of mediocre there for a while, but they're really fucking good this year, so you would think more fans would turn up, but who knows? What do I know? I don't live in Canada, and apparently Winnipeg is god-awful this time of year.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Just in that weird holding pattern until the deadline when things actually happen.
Yeah.
For another 10 days here. 1, 2, 3, 4 more games over the deadline. Winnipeg, Ottawa, Blues, Florida.
They already played in St. Louis, right?
I think so.
And they beat them, I believe.
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
I think.
Flyers, Blues. No. When did you already play your game? January 15, 2024.
4-2? 4-2, the Flyers won.
Yeah.
St. Louis is desperate, though. Now I wonder, will the Flyers, like, welcome back, Kevin Hayes, and give him, like, some fucking fuck-off video, like, he was some legend here, like, that's something that every team is now guilty of, like, giving these fucking players.
Pretty much anybody, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no! Like, when Simone Gagné came back, I was there for that, and I was there for Briere's return. Yeah, that deserved, like, a big thank you. I was also here for Richard's return early that season in 2011, and they did not give him a video.
Hmm.
It was just a quick, like, they put, like, his picture up, like, you know, an action shot of him in uniform, like, oh, the Flyers would like to thank Mike Richards. And, like, that was it. Boom. Like, they didn't pan to him. There wasn't, like, this lengthy video of his highlights. I booed him because I was still mad about the 2011 playoffs and, yeah, didn't value him at the time.
Welcome back Torey Krug.
Ooh.
Flyers legend.
Ooh. Do the Flyers faithful boo Torey Krug on Monday, March 9th?
Braden Schenn. Captain Schenn.
Captain Braden Schenn. So, yeah, they got Washington, Ottawa over the weekend. I'd like to see 3 out of 4 points. Then St. Louis at home. I'd like to beat them.
There's no reason they shouldn't beat both Ottawa and Washington.
I'd like that. I mean, just fucking don't. I'd rather even play Ersson back to back. If the Capitals game is somehow a cakewalk, play him again against Ottawa.
I could.
Then you got to beat St. Louis at home, and then they do the dreaded Florida trip. They got the Panthers on the 7th and the Lightning on the 9th. Yeah. I'll be happy if they get 1 out of 4 points.
Yeah, they don't typically fare well on that Florida trip.
So. No, never have. And then it's San Jose, Toronto at home, up to Boston. You host Toronto again at Carolina. They face Florida twice this month.
They have a lot of Atlantic Division competition left.
Yeah.
Is what they got.
They have Boston twice, Florida twice, Toronto twice. Oof.
Luckily, they got a bit of a cushion here in the standings because this is a rough schedule here to end the year. If they were fighting for their lives for a playoff spot, be a bit of a different story.
Their last three road games of the season at Buffalo, at Columbus, at Montreal. And, oh, then at the Rangers. And then they have, they actually end the season at home against Washington. That's getting way ahead. But yeah, I mean,
six more weeks.
Yeah, you gotta take care of business this weekend. You gotta get 3 out of 4 points at least. Anything less is a failure.
Hurricanes second place with 74 points. They have 58 games, so 2 in hand on the Flyers. Rangers have run away with the division, 81 points, 59 games. I don't know.
Rangers are a pretty good team this year again.
Pretty good.
I think they're pretty pissed off about...
Led by Jonathan Quick, of all people.
Yeah. He was so good for the Kings. I'm looking up the... I just want to see what the Hurricanes' goalie stats look like. I want to know what their numbers are. Because that's probably what it's going to come down to.
Let's see here. They've had 5 goalies play for them this year already. Anderson, I believe, is still on the shelf, but should be back sometime soon if he's not already. He's not highlighted here, so I assume he's not back yet. Spencer Martin still playing? Christ. Petr
Kochetkov.
That's what I said. 236 goals against, 910 save percentage. Antti Raanta, 872 save percentage. With, sorry, I had to cough. 894 save percentage for Anderson in 6 games played. God, Frederik Anderson's 34 years old already. Jesus.
And on the other hand, Ranta's,
Antti Raanta's only 34. I thought he would have been older than that. Huh.
With those numbers, they're clearly not going to start Raanta in the playoffs. They'll start Kochetkov.
At least. Yeah, maybe Anderson if he's back, but probably Kochetkov.
Who I don't think has much playoff experience.
I don't know if he's played for them last year or not. No. Oh, yeah, he did. Played 1 game for him last year. 818 save percentage. 6 goals against.
Oof. So maybe they can be had. Like you said, you beat Carolina. Your run stops quickly after that.
Yeah, even if they manage to get through the first round, I would not bet on them beating any of the top teams in the East, quite frankly.
Yeah, who knows? A first-round exit for Carolina might cost Brindamore his job.
Yeah. Flyers can bring him on and get rid of this Tortorella asshole.
See that cast he had on it? He had some type of surgery, they said?
Hand surgery. Due to old age, I believe, is what his excuse was this morning. Yeah.
Oh.
Have you gotten to that point yet?
No. How dare you? Is he still not answering Sam Filippo's questions?
I don't think so.
Jeez. Clearly, Keith Jones wasn't that mad about anything because he's hopped on with them since that stuff.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well. I'm just glad the Flyers, they ended Tampa's 8-game winning streak in Philly.
Yeah, it's the first time in quite a few years that they...
2018.
Yeah.
6 fucking years. Good Lord. I remember when San Jose would just come here year after year after year and just beat the Flyers.
Yeah, they were another one.
That was a team that failed to bring a cup home with all those stars over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to win, buddy.
Nope. No, it's not. Which is why I want them to build a really good powerhouse of a team and not just rely on fucking vibes to get them into the postseason every year. But I'm in the minority on that one, apparently. So.
Yeah.
Tis what it is.
No logic applied on Twitter, really, when it comes to anything.
Nope.
Stay friendly with the people you're friendly with and ignore the fucking psychos.
The mute button comes in great handy.
Oh yeah, I love the mute button.
It's funny, there are times where I'll get, 12, 13 replies to one of the tweets. I don't see a single one of them. whatever. I'm sitting in front of a Bobby Brink's team issue jersey from the Mark Recchi Hall of Fame game. First time I've owned one of the new jerseys. And second time I saw them in person at the rookie game back in September. And one thing about these jerseys is the television and pictures do not do this shade of orange justice. It is awesome in person. I'm kind of over the black stripe, but I still hate these sleeve numbers with all my heart. And as someone who's going to probably strip jerseys at some point this summer, not this one, but I'm planning on getting quite a few of the depth players' jerseys because when Fanatics take over, I'm not buying Fanatics jerseys. So I'm going to get a whole bunch of Adidas ones this year in case I need players to
Smart.
wear in the future. And so I'm going to strip a bunch of them. And these numbers look like they're going to be a bitch to get off these ones. So,
Really?
yeah. Gonna leave a nice outline of
Ugh.
them.
Yeah, I've gotten used to the new look. Yeah, the only thing I still don't like, same thing, sleeve numbers. And I like that the nameplate is pretty much unique to the Flyers. If they would have gone back to not having a nameplate, that would have been okay too. But I do like the shade of orange. I have seen it in person. I do like it. The stripe would really complete the look.
Yeah, I it yeah. I'm not nearly
But
as mad at it as I used to be. It's still the sleeve numbers that just ruin it for me at this point. But yeah,
yeah.
I can live without the stripe, but it should be there. Yeah.
Yeah, when you see highlights of the previous shade, you're like, God damn, that was a fucking bright shade of orange.
Yeah, I don't think we realize how bad we had it all those years.
Yeah.
Does have an ad on it though. The IBX ad. That
Yeah.
stupid big blue fucking independent blue crown.
I mean, Fanatics is handling, even though Nike makes baseball uniforms, isn't Fanatics kind of handling the distribution and the making of it?
Fanatics is making them and just putting on the Nike swoosh, essentially. And they look
And
like
like, just,
shit.
yeah, they look like shit. Every, like, there's multiple baseball teams already on the record, like, not happy
Oh, yeah, the
about
players
their
aren't happy
uniform.
about it.
I saw the one team start wearing their pants from last year. Because
Padres,
the fucking,
yeah.
yeah, the pants are fucking see-through.
Yeah, they're see-through and they don't fit. They're because they're not fitted, they're not tailored to sizes anymore. Yeah, I don't know. Apparently they're just not gonna fix it either. This is just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see some sort of class action lawsuit against that dude who owns Fanatics, because I mean, the amount of that, there's a Twitter page we've talked about before, Fanatics sucks, and people just send shit to him. Like the level and number of fuck ups they send to their customers and now to professional teams
Yeah.
is astounding.
Yeah. I
And
thought like, hey, it's Fanatics is shit, we all know that, but they just spent a fucking $1 billion to get the NHL jerseys for the next decade. I thought, oh, they're probably gonna take this with some level of seriousness, right? And then we see the MLB jerseys this spring and it's like, nope, just kidding. They clearly don't give a fuck, one way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't expect good things anymore, when it comes to the NHL jersey. So I'm gonna buy up as many of this style as I can in the Adidas ones and just hope.
And Adidas did a pretty good job.
Adidas did a good job. The Adidas jerseys have been my favorite thus far. I still love the Reebok 6100s back from the post-lockout era, but on the whole, Adidas did a really, really good job with their jerseys.
Most of the yeah, most of the designs were pretty good. A lot of decent third jerseys. The reverse retro was a really good idea. Like, I'd say 75% of the reverse retros were pretty fucking nice. A couple teams mailed it in, either the first year or second year or both, but good quality, good look. But yeah, I mean, and then the pros are supposed to get the top-notch shit. And And the baseball is, it's, oh my God.
It's bad.
And that Philadelphia Phillies City Connect jersey, apparently, that leaked is awful.
The yellow one.
It's blue with like,
Oh, the blue and yellow
it's like a
one.
gradient with yellow trim on it. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Sorry. Been up since 5:15. Rained pretty good today.
Yeah, the windows open in here for a little while this afternoon. Get the air out the splooge and alcohol smell and get some fresh air in here, and then it poured like a motherfucker.
Spooge and alcohol. A busy weekend in the Esch house,
Hey,
huh?
studio, serves some purposes every now and again,
Hey, close the window. You're gonna let the stank out. That's good stuff.
Well, anything else you want to get off your chest here before we go? Hey, fucker.
No, I'm just glad they bounced back nicely after that the Cal Peterson game it's been referred to as, they played pretty good against the Rangers, played okay enough to beat Pittsburgh if not for goaltending, and then they had a good first and third period tonight, took advantage of a Vasilevskiy off night. The kids scored. Go Flyers, everybody. Let's all be positive to each other. Go Flyers.
Yeah, there's one thing this podcast is known for, it is being positive.
Hey, this beats the last couple of years by far.
I guess.
Yeah, I am watching them on a regular basis. I haven't done that since like I first joined you.
Yeah, they're just building themselves up to be a an absolutely nothing team for the next decade.
I
That's
know.
fine.
I know.
All right, everyone. Got an episode of Freakin' Flyer this week. There'll be another one up Sunday. We'll be back to cover the trade deadline with somebody sometime. We'll figure it all out. We got time to figure it out. At the end of the line, Brotherly Puck, Brotherly underscore pod, plenty of ship on the website, brotherlypuck.com. I will be updating eBay page here probably by the time most of you listen to this. I would hope. I took a bunch of pictures today, so I just got to go through and actually create the listings and shit. But that'll be a whole bunch of new stuff up there then. At what's the Dan the Flyer Fan underscore jerseys on Instagram? There it is. There's no at over there, I don't think. But yeah, Nick.
You can find me on Twitter at ForzaInter215. Tell all your friends about Brotherly Pod. Give all the shows a listen. Give us all a follow. We'll follow you back.
I won't, but I'm sure everyone else will. Until next time, everybody. Goodbye and good night. Drop the gloves, let's go. Drop the